What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Healthspan Academy. I am your host, Craig Shearhart, and joining me today is my special guest, Carrie Pierce, who is basically best known for her CrossFit days. She's a professional CrossFitter for years. She got started with her academic career at the Bachelor of Science in Movement Science from the University of Michigan, where she was a varsity gymnast. So we're going to talk a little bit about that background. She's been a personal trainer for 10 plus years. She was a seven-time games athlete, including four-time fittest American female, and peaked at third fittest in the world in 2020. And we're going to talk all things fitness and her new avenues of coaching and programming and all that stuff. Carrie, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. I'm excited for our conversation.
Yeah, likewise. So I want to start this off with your gymnastics background, because I know like in a lot of ways, that's like just you're tailor-made to kind of like the next step is like, you're just going to be a beast in CrossFit, but it doesn't always work out that way. So talk me through what your training was like in your background in gymnastics, how you got into it and what your competition liked, and then how that transitioned into CrossFit.
Yeah. So I started gymnastics very, very young with my sister. I have a sister who's 2 years older, and my parents were going to put her in gymnastics. So they figured, why not have Carrie join in gymnastics? Because otherwise she would just be sitting there. Right. So I was 3 and my sister was 5. Then my parents put me in other sports, but I kept just saying gymnastics.
Just love it.
Yeah, I did.
Cool.
My sister ended up quitting at 8, but I just kept wanting to go. Nice. She wasn't a fan of the individual competition, and I thrived under it. So I loved it.
Nice.
Yeah. And then, as you said, I did it for 18 years. Continued, yeah, through the University of Michigan. So I got my bachelor's of science in movement science. And then I was on the varsity gymnastics team there. And like a humble brag, we were 4-time Big Ten champs. So wow. 4 years in a row.
That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really cool. It was such an awesome experience. But like you said, you think it would be a natural progression to go into CrossFit. But when I was done with gymnastics, I had a teammate that was like, Carrie, you should do CrossFit. Like, yeah, it would be a perfect fit. And I was like, no, I'm over gymnastics. I don't want anything to do with it. Like,
just, well, fair enough after 18 years, but you stuck it through it and it tested it out.
Yeah. It took me a couple of years though. So I graduated college when I was 21.
Right.
And then I did some weightlifting, and then I dabbled in some physique competing, and then I did a powerlifting competition. And then finally, in November of 2014, I started CrossFit.
Oh, wow. That's a roundabout way of getting in, but you did a bit of everything. That's probably the best case scenario, I feel like. Because like I said at the beginning, like gymnasts tend to do well, but they're prone to certain things, right? Especially like the hypermobility things, like getting into those shoulder positions, like for aesthetics and gymnastics, are different than catching a barbell overhead, right? So did you ever run into those issues with shoulders in the early days or was it pretty smooth for you?
So actually like anything overhead is great for me. It's more like the front rack position and that thoracic mobility. And I guess I had like a stress fracture at some point in gymnastics that I never knew. And then I ended up bulging a disc in my back. So got like imaging on my back, and they're like, oh, did you know like you had a stress fracture in your thoracic? And I don't know if that has anything to do with my lack of thoracic mobility. And me, I was not ever like flexible overhead, like a lot of the other gymnasts.
Right.
So my coach would stretch my shoulders every day, and like, they got, you know, a little bit better, but nothing compared to a lot of the other athletes. Like I was flexible in both splits, the middle splits, certain ways. And then certain ways I was tight, but I could like work around that. So I'm great when it comes to like jerks and overhead squats, snatches, things like that. Front squats, well, that's another story.
Yeah, fair enough. That's interesting. And it's interesting you mentioned thoracic mobility, because that I just actually was chatting with Carl Paoli the other week, and he mentioned that his thoracic mobility is like a weakness too, which I never would have thought of for gymnasts, because you're doing so much overhead. And I guess a lot of it is compensatory, right? Your shoulder gets that much more flexible just to compensate for the lack of T-spine. But that kind of blew me away. And I'm surprised to hear that you struggle with that too. So did you have to like do a lot of kind of prehab pieces to get that T-spine moving better? Or is that like an ongoing thing? Or what does that look like?
Yeah, I definitely did. Like, especially working with any weightlifting coach, they're like, okay, you need some thoracic mobility.
Yeah.
So it definitely was a lot of work. And like, I think people like just assume gymnasts have a lot of like shoulder flexibility and thoracic, but it's like everything is honestly like in a hollow. So it's like your upper back is always like in this forward rounded position.
Yeah.
There's like, I feel like your lower back is what's like curved, and then your upper right. back is like rounded. And yeah. so it's like this different position than a lot of people think, just because of all the hollow body stuff. There is like some movement, but most of it, like I said, is your lower back. Right. So yeah, I definitely had to do a lot of mobility, especially because right after gymnastics, I mean, I got into weightlifting, but I just took my flexibility and stuff for granted because you stretch so much.
Yeah.
And then when I went to physique and to powerlifting, I didn't do it. So there was like a couple of years that I should have continued to stretch a lot, and I did not. So then it got worse because then I also put on muscle. Right. And so I think like the two together.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. And the conundrum is, as a powerlifter, like there is such a thing as too much flexibility where it becomes a disadvantage. So you almost like you need to scale back, I guess, if you're hypermobile, right? That's wild. Cool. So at some point you managed to realize you're pretty good at CrossFit. Was there like a turning point? Was there a specific workout you hit? Was there someone you were training with in the gym that you started hitting certain numbers, or when did you feel like this could be something you could make a living at?
So like you said, I had the perfect background going into CrossFit. I did not have any endurance though. Like when I started CrossFit, because I was a powerlifter, I probably couldn't have run a mile. Like people would joke because I would get out of breath going up a flight of stairs. And so like the strength was there. That. Right. I mean, it's just, you know, cause it's part of the sport. You don't want to do too much cardio because it's believed that it's going to affect your strength.
Sure.
And so when I started CrossFit, I had never like rode before running. Yeah, definitely not. I had never been on an assault bike or echo bike, anything like that.
So this was a rude awakening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. It was just like a different.
All new pain cave.
Yeah, for sure. But it was like, if you practice on it and if you can like be mentally tough when you're doing it, you're going to get better.
Yeah.
And so it was nice having the body awareness background, the gymnastics background, then the strength background. I still needed a lot of work on strength, but I at least had like dabbled in a little bit of the movements and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was able to practice the endurance and get better at it. So I did my first CrossFit Open in November in 2015. It started in February, went into March, and it was basically like the third into the fourth week that I was in a qualifying spot to go to regionals.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that much about like the qualification system. And if you did well in the open, you qualified for regionals, which you qualify for the games, you know, which is the big competition of the year.
Yeah.
And after like the fourth week, my teammates, because I was just training with other athletes who had done CrossFit for a couple of years, like, Carrie, if you do well in this last week, like you could go to regionals. Wow. And yeah, and like that was just kind of like, okay, like cool. Like I didn't realize how hard it was to make regionals because I was still like new to the sport.
Yeah.
And they had been doing it for years and hadn't made regionals.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's insane. And then I did well the fifth week and made regionals. I think I was like 16th. In the region. I don't know like what placing in the world. But for doing the sport for 6 months, they're like, that's really, really good.
That's pretty badass.
Thank you.
That's impressive for sure. Eventually did make the games. So let's talk about the games experience. Like seven times when someone mentions the CrossFit games, what are the first images that pop up for you? What are like the highlights, the lowlights, and the key lessons you picked up over those years?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing that pops into my mind is just the first year I was there. I was just in awe because I kind of started CrossFit because I saw it on ESPN and some of like these amazing athletes. And then I just remember like walking into the warm-up area and looking around and seeing the athletes that I'd like seen on TV. And part of me though, like actually the majority of me like felt like I didn't belong because I had just started it like the sport, you know, about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And then I was with like all these athletes that were like the best in the world, like the top athletes in this sport.
Yeah.
And I was like intimidated and I was scared to go work out. So I was like, oh man, like, do I really know how to clean? Like I haven't been doing this that long. And so that was like my initial, experience at the CrossFit Games. And I still remember, you know, like what the warm-up gym looked like and everything. And just being there and meeting some of the other athletes, but Margot Alvarez, one of the girls, came over, introduced herself. So then all of a sudden I felt
she's
more at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's and great. So it was like, this is amazing. Cause now like, I feel like there's somebody I can talk to and like go over and ask questions if I like need anything, which, you know, for a brand new experience, like it's huge to have that.
For sure.
And then besides that, like fast forward to the next year, I got 21st my first year in the world, which, you know, it is great.
Not too shabby. Yeah.
Right. For most people. But I was like, that's not good. Like there's 40 people. That's in the bottom half.
It's a thing, I guess. Like everyone, no one's there to come 21st. Everyone's there to win, right? And it's like, it's you're trying to find that balance between, yes, I did a good job, but I want more, right? You still want to fuel that hunger.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. And so then I trained really hard over the next year. And then I came back and I got fifth place and I was the top American female and and I was awarded with the most improved athlete, which was really cool. And I won Murph, which is like, I feel like probably the most famous CrossFit workout. So, yeah.
And to win that at the games, that's like, and it's an American too. That's pretty cool. Right. It's just like, it's like the staple hero workout. Super cool. And for someone that like endurance was the last piece, like powerlifting gymnastics background, it's that much more impressive because that's like almost what we become known for is than like an engine over the years. Is that like something you kind of felt like you were playing catch up with for a while, or did that come quicker than you expected it to?
I mean, it was definitely a lot of work and my coach was like, we need to do a lot of specific engine work. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it too, was just realizing like, I had to be mentally tough in those workouts. Yeah. So I remember I started working with Rob Carson, who's an endurance coach, mm-hmm. and we started working together with rowing. And the first competition I did together after working with him was the Granite Games. One of the workouts, the first workout was a two-part workout on a rower. Your first score was a 1K row. Your second score was a 10K row. And it was the 1K right into the 10K.
Right.
And I did
a similar thing at the games. I think it was, I forget what it was. It was 1,000 or something. And then into a half marathon or something? Yeah. Anyways. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's like, that's a horrible workout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember I did decent on the 1K row and then the 10K was not my best performance by any means. And from then he was like, I'm just going to be honest. Like you mentally suck on the rower. Like you mentally suck. And I was like, I mean, you're right. I get bored. I hate it. Like, that's why I love gymnastics. It was like your longest routine was not even 2 minutes long.
Yeah.
And there's just so many things to do and learn. And it's not like sitting and just like stroke.
Yeah.
Stroke. I was like, you're right. I get bored.
Yeah.
And so I think from that though, it was like, well, you know, these workouts and these pieces, whether it's a long row, a long bike, a long run, a long, whatever it is, like you have to do it. So you might as well practice it and you might as well figure out what works mentally for you, because nobody cares if you get bored, like that's not going to get you to be the best.
Yeah.
And so, so it was a lot of work.
Fair enough. And like those long workouts, it's obviously different. You're a different animal if you win those workouts just mentally. I remember talking with this about Pat Vellner, and he was like, the amount of work that goes into winning those long workouts compared to like winning a barbell, like a CrossFit total, it's like, and you get the same points. It's like, almost like why? Why you did so much more work just to get the same number of points. It's almost like deflating when you get out of that. It's wild.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like time. But I don't know, like for me, like strength, I could squat until I'm like blue in the face. And my PR will go up by like 5 pounds. I run. Like I feel like it progresses more quickly.
Right.
I feel like everybody's just like, I mean, and I can like not jerk and my jerk will increase. I think it's just like gymnastics, like the upper body strength.
Yeah.
But I feel like everybody's kind of different with how they adapt. But it's crazy. Like, a max snatch like that work. It takes not even 10, like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Versus a marathon row that's like 3 hours.
Yeah.
12 minutes and 1 second for me. It's like, and those are like the same amount of points. It's insane.
It is wild. So let's dive into your training kind of at your peak sort of fitness. What did your strength and conditioning look like? How many hours were in the gym? Like how were you balancing barbell work? Were you periodizing throughout the year? Give a snapshot of what that looked like.
Yeah. So I was spending, I mean, throughout the year, I always trained a lot. Justin Kotler, my coach, had me in really good shape year round. Like there wasn't really like a super off season. Like there were times, you know, especially right after the games, I would take time off. And then when we would get back, I would still be doing strength work, cardio work, gymnastic work. I mean, it was probably like 3 to 4 hours, like when in our quote unquote off season versus the 4 to 6 hours when you're training for semifinals or the games. And like for me, like I would squat a lot just because we were trying to increase my squat numbers and stuff. It was just, my legs were so stubborn. We would do single leg stuff, double leg, a lot of different programs. And I remember after I PR'd like all three squats, then we started adding a little bit more endurance to get ready for the games, especially 2020.
Yeah.
And then my numbers like went back to where they were.
And it's tough to find that balance and maintaining while you're trying to build that engine too. And it's challenging to actually chatted with Justin not too long ago and about the CrossFit season and it's kind of how there is no real off season. And I feel that's one of the things I think they need to figure out if they're going to get athletes making money over the stretch is like, they got to be able to take time off to recover and like, and end up peaking throughout the year instead of like the two events that are the best chance for making money. And like in the fall with Rogue and, in Dubai, I guess that's like literally right after the game. So you got like no time to downtime. Do you feel like they're getting closer to the right structure with that? Or like all the personnel changes, I guess it's hard to say, but what would have been your ideal season when you were at your peak?
Yeah, I mean, I really liked the regional format. Like personally, I just thought it was nice, like, because you could kind of have that off season right after the games and then through the open. If you want to make extra money, you know, obviously you could do Dubai or Wadapalooza. They didn't. Rogue was a newer event. I think it was in 2019.
Yeah.
I did it in 2019 in person, which was like a lot of fun, but that was in May with the like sanctional season. And yeah, it's just, it has changed so much recently, but I think the regional structure is the best way. Cause I mean, now it's, you have the open and then quarterfinals and then semifinals. Like, I don't know why you have to have the open and quarterfinals and then a semifinal.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. Like, I don't know why they just didn't add an extra week to the open and then like, okay, this is your qualification to semis, but maybe they wanted a little bit more of like a competition feel, maybe make a two-part workout then like for the final workout or something along those lines. I just feel like it's a lot on the athletes.
It is a lot at the top athletes. I think what's nice is that now those like non-professional, kind of the intermediate people still have a chance to go on and something to work towards. Cause like a few athletes at my gym that probably will never make the games, but they might make semis, like a few of them made full quarters. Right. So like, I think that's the balance, but it's tough too. Cause like, then there's just, it's another layer to get through and it's like kind of cuts the off season that much shorter again.
And it like, then athletes like, you know, cause if you know, you're going to make a semi, then you're not going to peak for the open. Like you're going to, but you have to do well in quarters.
Yeah. You just can't breeze through that anymore.
No.
Yeah. Fair enough. Let's talk about some of the changes you'd make leading up to a competition. You mentioned the mental piece. Did you have like mental routines going into that? Did you taper your training much like the last few days leading up to a comp or what did that look like?
Yeah, definitely always taper up leading into a comp because the work is done. I remember my first couple years competing in CrossFit, probably 2 to 3 years. Be like, no, like, I don't need to take, like, I just need to do more. I need to do more. I need to hit these heavy weights. And my coach is like, no, you don't, like, you need to relax. He's like, the work is done. I'm like, no, like, I need to like snatch at 90% just to make sure I can still hit it. Which obviously was more in my head than anything. Sure. And I feel like as I became a more seasoned athlete, a smarter athlete, and I'd probably done, you know, hundreds of more reps of snatches and cleans and things.
You know, it's more in your bag. Yeah.
And then even like after competitions, I would take like more time off as I was more seasoned. But luckily for me, like I started competing at 5 years old in gymnastics. So I was used to being in front of crowds and used to performing, still got butterflies, you know, you have those expectations for yourself and you want to do well. So you're going to get a little bit nervous. But I was a big fan of visualization and usually the night before, if I knew what the workouts were, like before I would go to bed, I would like close my eyes and go through the workouts and just do them perfectly.
And see yourself crushing
them. Yeah, exactly. Nice. And once I crushed it, I was done. If I made a mistake, I was like, nope, you got to start over. And especially if like you knew what the venue was going to look like and the layout, then you could like picture that. And then like, even like walking out and like, you know, being in the middle lane because that meant you were winning.
Yeah.
But like picturing yourself just there and like doing what you needed to do on each movement and like what you needed to focus on. And then I think part of it too, just like in the competition, just believing in yourself and knowing that you've worked so hard in training that like this is the time to let that all show off and just like having that confidence that I think like people always second guess themselves. It's like, no, like the work is done. Your body knows what to do. You just have to stick with your plan strategy and like
trust you've done the work.
Yeah. And like me and Justin would always talk about the workouts. Like, this is the plan, how we're going to break it up. Like, just trust him and trust the training and just go out there and execute.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I want to dive into that a little bit. I had a really good chat with Justin. We chatted a little bit about your training too. I'm curious, how did that all begin with Justin and Underdogs? How did you guys end up first connecting?
So we actually first connected right when I started CrossFit. Yeah. So the girl that got me into CrossFit had Justin as a coach.
Okay.
And she was like, cause I was in New York City. Justin was in New York.
Yeah.
And she's like, Carrie, you need to go meet this guy named Justin Kotler. Mm-hmm. He's in New York. And I was in Manhattan and he was in Queens. So if people don't know, it was like 45 minutes to an hour away. It's not like it was next door, like super easy, but it was still like, you know, not too bad. So I took the train out and I remember like walking in the gym and telling it like from his side of the story, he was like, yeah, she was like in this baggy sweatshirt. She comes in, everybody kind of like looks at her like, who's that? And then she takes her sweatshirt off and everyone's like, this girl is jacked. Same. Like, cause I had like come from like, you know, I did physique, I did powerlifting. At this point I was just starting CrossFit though. So I was like, still like super meathead and just like a little buffer. Not as lean as I am now, but I wanted to talk to him and just like learn about CrossFit. Granted, I couldn't really do a muscle up. I couldn't climb the rope using my feet. Cause in gymnastics, you know, you just do
it legless.
And like very rough on the edges, but I talked to him and he was like, okay, like let's try out. And I guess like he had me go through like some movements and things and he could see that I was talented.
Yeah.
But I was coaching at another gym and there was a coach there. So I was working with him and it was frowned upon to start working with Justin. So I went out to Justin and trained with some of his athletes until we started working together in October of 2018.
Cool. Awesome. He's a bright guy. I had a lot of fun chat with him. And like the take home was like, you had so much like toughness, I guess. Like it was, you could throw anything at you and then like, you would just do it. No questions asked. which panned out well for you as an athlete.
Yeah. I just know like there's so many people that like question their coaches and everything. I'm like, you're my coach for a reason. Like you're smart. You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And he'll always say like, there was one day and four of my biggest weaknesses all in one workout. And it was a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And it was 150 pound D-ball over the shoulder. Heavy dumbbell box step overs. I think it was like 55 pounds in each hand.
Yeah.
And heavy, like 20 pound wall balls to a 10 foot target. And then a heavy sled push. And it was like five rounds of this workout. And it was like halfway through. And I like,
gross.
And And it like, it's like for some people, they're like, oh, like that's fine, whatever. But I was like, these were like my biggest weaknesses all in one workout. And it was like a 20 minute workout, just like grunt. It was hot. It was in the summer.
Yeah.
And like halfway through, like my eyes started to water. Then like, I was like crying in the middle of the workout, like, and it was just like an emotional, like I was just like so fatigued from like all of those things together. Like I didn't need to. And I remember just like, cause the sled push was last. And I remember just like finishing the sled push and like crossing over the line. And then I just like, and like, just like started like bawling. And I, he felt so bad. He like went home to his wife and was like, I made Carrie cry today. It was like one of those defining moments that it's like, okay, now like whatever they throw at me at the CrossFit Games, like I'm ready. It's gonna be easier than that. Like,
yeah,
great, true enough. Perfect. You know, and so like, you know, there's a lot of hard workouts that I've done. You know, my eyes might have watered and things happen. That was just like one that just like stuck out, and it's like, okay, like you know, you can push yourself through that. You can push yourself through anything, and that's one thing that I really appreciated about Justin is like he would push me to my wit's end. But then I knew like when I was going to the games, like I'm as prepared, if not more prepared than anybody else here. Yeah. Yes, it was hard, but it was definitely worth it.
Yeah. You have a better idea of your physical and mental capabilities and where your red line lies when you go to the absolute brink like that. So I love that. Very cool. Let's shift gears a little bit into nutrition. So did you manage your own nutrition over those years? Did you work with a nutrition coach? Did you measure macros? What did that look like for you?
Yeah. So I worked with RP Strength when I was competing in CrossFit and Nick Shaw, the head guy actually, or one of the head guys, went to University of Michigan. And he connected in 2016, reached out to me and was like, Do you have a nutrition coach? Do you work with anybody for your nutrition? Also, I went to Michigan and I feel like there's just like that connection when, yeah. you know, you've gone to the same college as somebody and for it's sure. just like, it's cool. Because at that time I competed in physique. So I was still following physique eating, which, you know, anybody that knows about nutrition, when you're eating for looks, it's very different than eating for performance.
Slightly different game. Yep.
Yep. And so I was still like, you know, in my head, like, well, I need to be lean. I need to be that. And so I started working with him and he like way increased my carbs, decreased my protein, fat, yeah. stayed relatively similar.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I felt much better. Like I was yeah. drinking sugars and protein during my workouts and
yeah.
especially the long sessions. Like, you know, you have simple carbs, all of a sudden you have more energy throughout your entire workout.
True enough. Do you remember what your peak macro, like your calorie base was in your macros?
I don't remember my exact macros, but I was eating like, yeah, when competing or training for the games, it was between like 400 and 450 grams of carbs. And it was like 35 to 3,700 calories a day. Yeah. Like I said, a lot was in those like sugary drinks. Because people are like, how can you eat that many calories? So I was like, well, there's a lot of liquid calories.
Have you seen what I'm doing? And
yeah. Because you're burning.
You can literally see it burning off me. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, just because like, I feel like the muscle mass that we have too, just like keeps you so metabolically active that, yeah. you know, even when you're like sleeping, like you're burning a lot of calories That's just from true. Like having that muscle mass. You know, I mean, I compete in physique and I think I was eating like 1500 calories when I was like getting ready for the show. And I'm like, I'm eating like 2.5 times that many, you know, cause your activity level is different. And
yeah, for sure.
And more muscle mass now too, but
yeah, that's crazy. Cool. Let's talk a little bit about, the mobility piece. Cause obviously that's like, I feel like we've learned a ton about mobility the last 10 years. The game's changed even a little bit. Everybody's got a mobility app and that stuff. And I think you even do a bit in your own, programming. How regular was that when you're in, like, what kind of volume of mobility and recovery pieces were you adding into your training when you're in peak CrossFit Games form?
So I would usually start my training session with 10 to 15 minutes of mobility, just to get moving right before actually starting the lifts and stuff. You know, the better your mobility is, if you can, I mean, for positioning, like you said, you don't want to be too hypermobile.
Yeah.
But for me, that usually wasn't the case. So the better your positions are going to be, the stronger you're going to be, the more efficient you're going to be in your workouts and everything. So I'd start out with 10 to 15 minutes. Then after, because I would usually do 2 sessions a day.
Yeah.
Then after I would try and squeeze in 10 more minutes. Usually you're tired and it's like, I don't want to, I'm tired, but you know, I had to in gymnastics. It's like the last 30 minutes of your practice, we're stretching different ways.
Yeah,
so it's like, come on, you can squeeze in a little bit here and, you know, cool down and everything. So usually 10 to 15 minutes before, 10 minutes after, usually for both sessions. Sometimes if it was just like a monostructural session that I was doing, then I would not do the mobility before, but I would stretch after. And then I tried to stretch at night, depending on my schedule and how I felt. I had like 10 to 20 minutes as well. So, I mean,
fair enough.
I guess throughout the day, I mean, there was like probably 40 minutes to an hour, just depending on how much volume I had and everything in there. But it's definitely an important piece, even just like to help with recovery well.
Yeah, that's significant. That's like more than most people work out in a day. It's an hour and it's just your recovery time. Go ahead.
I mean, you're an athlete, you know, like it's your job. And so when you're tired and you don't want to do it, and it's like, I have to do this. Yeah, and especially, like I was top 10 in the world 4 years in a row before I ended up getting, you know, the third in the world. And it was like, okay, I know I need to do this. Like, if I'm going to reach like my peak, then I have to do this. Yeah. So it's sometimes it's hard, but it's like, just go and stretch. Like it's not work, you know? So
it's
just got to do it.
And once you're in it, it's like, it is kind of relaxing and you kind of get in the groove, but it's just the starting it, right? It's just like, oh man, another thing to do. Were you freestyling that, or did Justin program some of that for you, or was it a mix? Like, were you kind of like going free for all day to day on how the body was feeling, or what did your structure and routine look like?
Yeah. So it was a mix. I had a weightlifting coach, Danny Casey, for a while, and he gave me a few mobility exercises that he wanted me to do. Just, you know, that were depending on me, like I said, my thoracic, my external rotation at my shoulders, external rotation at my hips. So those were something that I would hit every time I would stretch.
Yeah.
And then I also was with, I followed GoWatt. Nice. So yeah, so it's really easy. Like you program what movements you're going to do and then
the exercises.
Yeah. Gives, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then so it's even pre-workout, so post-workout, daily. Yeah. Yeah. It's so super easy to use.
Nice. That's awesome. So we've shifted gears a little bit and I want to talk a little bit about, what fit and power apps in a bit, but talk about, differences in your training over the years. So versus those first couple of years getting into CrossFit, what are the things that you changed? Was it just catering more to your weaknesses? Was it more recovery? Was it like, if your later self could meet your earlier self, what would they have said to do differently early on?
Definitely more of that mobility starting out for sure. Yeah. And that's something I like joked with Justin. I was like, man, I wish I would have like started more mobile, like just that thoracic specific and external rotation mobility.
Yeah.
And I mean, when I started training, so I had come from powerlifting, and with powerlifting, it was like, you train an hour, 5 days a week, that's it. So when I started CrossFit, it was, you know, I started at an hour, then slowly increased to an hour and a half, 2 hours, slowly building up until, you know, when I finished my career, it was like 4 to 6 hours a day, which I feel like everybody, cause like CrossFit just keeps growing and people keep getting fitter. People are training.
Yeah.
I mean, now I feel like we're at like the capacity of how much people can train. Like people are just getting fitter and doing the right things. Right. But I feel like back in the day, people weren't training. Like it was like maybe 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
So I slowly increased as well, you know, to stay away from injury. Cause you don't want to go from training 1 hour a day to training 4 hours a day. Your body would be like, what is
what
going
are we doing
on
here?
Yeah. So I think that was definitely part of it. And then I would have implemented a lot more strongman stuff when I started. But it was like me and my coach were both new to CrossFit. Like he came from a strength conditioning background. Mm-hmm. He worked for the Philadelphia Phillies professional baseball team.
Right.
So neither of us knew as much as we probably should have, or people thought we would have
for
me
going
to the games.
Yeah.
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 So yeah, definitely more like strongman, incorporating more of those when I started. But I'm really glad I like progressed the way I did because I mean, for the most part, like I had like a little Achilles injury. I had a little wrist injury and like a few like minor back things. But for the amount of volume and everything I did, like I was very healthy. So I think ramping up the training and just doing a lot of prehab, rehab stuff was very important as well.
Yeah. Well, whatever formula you figured out seems to work been out pretty well for you. So, so I want to talk about, the merger of functional fitness and you had like that aesthetic background in bodybuilding. And I feel like there's a few elements of that kind of built into your programs now. And I feel like for years there was just like CrossFit and then there was bodybuilding and there was like beating heads, like our method's better and yada, yada, yada. I feel like there's a little bit less of that now, but there's still some purists that are like, you know, what are you CrossFitters doing and this stuff? But, you seem to have kind of found a mix of the two, and I think they can coexist in a synergistic way. So talk about those two kind of domains and how they can be integrated to get the best out of both.
Yeah. I mean, people, they look at my background and they're like, oh, gymnastics and weightlifting, like that's the perfect background for CrossFit.
Yeah.
I was like, but to be honest, like the physique training, that's huge as well. Like it just, I feel like built the muscular endurance for each body part. Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously gymnastics, like with handstands and stuff helped with like my shoulder endurance and allowed me to, you know, win Mary and like crazy gymnastic events, but doing like an hour of shoulder and tricep work, that's intense. So I feel like that just helped me build the endurance,
that's
like
true.
For shoulders or for legs,
right.
Like my, like 20 rep back squat is like at a really high percentage. I think it's like 85% or something like compared to my one rep. Which people are like, that's insane. But I think part of it is relating to that bodybuilding training. And there's a lot of like unilateral stuff, which, you know, I feel like, oh, CrossFitters need more of.
True, for sure.
And and people would see my training. And if they didn't know my training and they would see my training, they're like, you do a lot more like accessory bodybuilding, you know, single leg, single arm movements than would be expected. So I think, you know, for a healthy, like to be healthy, I think it's super important to do that, those bodybuilding movements, those unilateral movements, because if you keep compensating with one leg, then you're going to get like overuse injuries or like you're going to hurt your back from just like not being in a line.
Out of whack. Yeah. 100%. And it's nice to see that the stigma's changed a little bit. I feel like if you were in curls at a CrossFit gym in like 2013, you'd get some funny looks, to say the least. But it's like there is a bit of a functional purpose to it. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And I just joke with people because I'm like, yeah, so if I'm doing curls, you know, it's going to help my rope climbs. You know, there's always something like, oh, I'm doing tricep extensions are going to help my handstand pushups, or
it's true.
My dips and my muscle ups. I'm like, there's always like, in my mind, there's always a way I can relate it to CrossFit to say this is going to be beneficial.
And I feel like every year when you hear the athletes talking about the games, there's like some workout with like, man, I don't feel anything except my biceps. It's like, there's a reason for all that.
Yeah. They had pegboard in my first year in the CrossFit games and a lot of people couldn't do it. So good thing I did all those bicep curls and helped me get third place in that workout.
You knew it was coming. Yeah. That's awesome. So let's talk about, fit a little bit. I've glanced through the website and my girlfriend actually did Power Apps. So maybe we can talk a bit about that too, but I want to know what the scope is with that. Obviously you've built an audience and have a background and you're a trusted athlete now, and that helps. So what was your scope going into that? Your sort of vision, and talk about some of the results that you're seeing and the next steps this year.
Yeah. So like you said, we started off as Power Apps, back in 2018. Mm-hmm. And since we have a lot of different body parts, but one request that we kept getting was a full body workout. Cause people are like, I just don't have time. Yeah. And, or either that, or like, I just don't want to work my abs. Like I want a full body workout. Mm-hmm. And they wanted something that, you know, could be like an only workout that they're going to do throughout the day. They're like, I have 10 minutes. Like I need to get in something.
Yeah.
So we had big success with Power Apps just being body weight.
Yeah.
But because of my background, I also wanted to include some weights. So we have two levels. Level one is just completely body weight. Level two, you need a pair of dumbbells, usually like a moderate weight dumbbell. And they're all 10 minute workouts, which is like I said, the biggest thing and the biggest point for people, because everyone has 10 minutes.
There's really no excuse. If it's just 10 minutes, you can find 10 minutes to your day. Like if you're still making excuses with 10 minutes, there's something else going on.
No, definitely. And like that. And people are like, this is like a hard 10 minutes. Like, I'm like, I didn't say it was easy. I said it was 10 minutes. You got 10 minutes. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, especially if you want results from it, you know? And so we've had there's been over 200,000 people around the world do Power Abs and Fit and like the different programs. Yeah. Which is really, really cool. And there's an amazing community. Like we have a Facebook group of over 78,000 people that do Power Abs and Fit. But like you said, the cool thing about Fit is it can include those dumbbells and that weight training, which I'm a huge fan of, just building that muscle mass, as I talked about earlier, just increases your metabolism, which I don't think people know. And women, like I am on an airplane and I see women that need help getting their suitcase into the overhead bin. I'm like, I never want that to be me. So I'm like,
seriously.
Do the different movements, you know, dumbbell snatches or like dumbbell thrusters or deadlifts with those weights, just to stay strong and be able to function throughout life and just feel better and be healthier and live a better life.
Yeah. I love that. And so obviously it's a little different scope than for the athletes that are training for the games. Was that an intentional, did you try to make a more sort of broad scope with your audience? Did you consider doing stuff more consistent for like the competitive groups, or how did that kind of pan out? How those decisions pan out?
So we started with Power Apps and like working with a businessman and a businesswoman. Like the question came up, like, how can we create something that people don't have excuses for? Yeah. And it started off as abs because the lady, her and her husband were like, we're obsessed with your abs. You need an abs program. And it like, you know, the gymnastics background, I have a personal training background.
Yeah.
And then CrossFit, I was like, I need to create something for people that there's no excuse. And so it's like completely equipment free and 10 minutes. And nobody has ever said like, my core is too strong or my abs look too good.
It's true.
And so that was like the biggest thing with it. And we're like, okay, like 10 minutes. And like I said, it's not easy, but it's intense and people have seen results from the 10 minutes. Yeah. And like that, you know, because of that, that was like our biggest selling point. So from there, we're like, oh, can we do the same thing with a glutes program? So we brought on Rachel Bowles, who did Power Abs, had twins, like it's just incredible and like goals for mom everywhere. And so she did power glutes and then people wanted arms and then legs. And so we just kind of stuck with this 10 minute, model because it works. We've seen, you know, many people have results from just doing the 10 minutes. And like I said, it's like no excuses, you know? And so I love fitness and I was a personal trainer and it's cool just being able to reach so many people. I feel like when you go into the competitive space, then it like kind of reduces, you know, who you can reach. And I love competitors and I loved competing, but I feel like they're already motivated. And so it's really cool being able to impact people that either don't like working out, aren't motivated, or just don't have time. And so we've had so many people like, oh, now I feel comfortable like going to the beach in my bathing suit. I never thought this would be possible. Or I turned 60 next month and I didn't think I would ever have abs. And now I have abs. So there's just like
change
a different
lives.
Sense of reward.
Very cool. That's amazing. Carrie, I want to talk into your own kind of personal habits. Have your training methods shifted more towards like a HIIT? Are you still dabbling in CrossFit, or what is your, and like, what are your top priorities around your health and fitness these days? And what do your habits look like around that?
So yeah, my training looks a lot different. Recently I've been doing a lot more sessions in my garage. Mm-hmm. And part of that is just being like such a competitive athlete for a long time. And like, we have this amazing Underdogs crew here in Vegas and they're incredible. All the athletes are so, so good. They're so awesome and just like fun to be around. But like for me mentally, the reason I retired from competing is because I was like, I'm mentally done. Like I am done comparing myself. I still love working out, but I don't want to compare myself to everybody else that's like working out. So it's been nice just to like go into my garage because now my focus is my business. And like you said, changing other people's lives, but I still need that outlet for myself because it's like, you're focused on everybody. You have like business going on, you know, there's like crazy things that come up, you know, just it's a different kind of hard than like competing and training.
It's true.
But I need that time for myself. And so I like to go out in my garage and just get after it. I do a lot of dumbbell stuff. I love gymnastic movements, like handstand shoulder taps, handstand pushups, pull-ups, all that kind of stuff. And so, it depends on the day. And I've been doing this burpee challenge since December 1st, and it's 100 burpees a day. They can be broken up. They can be all together. So like I make sure to get those in, or if I do like a power abs or a fit and it has burpees, I'm like, okay, those count for it. Like a live or anything like that. It's kind of, just
I did that
all
for
over
a month once, and that was enough for me. 100 a day.
Yeah,
but it helps. Like I, even to this day, I don't fear burpees the way I used to. I won't be a Carrie Pierce at burpees by any means. But it's like, it definitely helps. Volume, just grinding through. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
very cool.
Yeah, and sometimes like on rest days, I'll like go outside, like on my little backyard, and just do like burpees in the sunshine. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I'll do like a nice light, like 25-pound dumbbell like snatches with burpees, and it's nice just to like move and do it slow
without
so
pressure.
It's like fun.
I love that. Amazing. Well, Carrie, this has been an unbelievable chat. What's the best place for people to learn more about your programs?
The website is powerabs.shop, so just powerabs.shop.
cool.
And then I mean, if they want to follow me, Instagram is usually a good place. Carrie Pierce CrossFit, KarIPearce, then CrossFit. I'm usually good about answering DMs and things like that as well.
Awesome. Well, we'll link to that in the show notes. Well, so great catching up with you. Really appreciate the time, Carrie.
Of course. That was fun. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Healthspan Academy, guys. We'll see you next time. Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Thank you so much for supporting this channel. This has been a fun project. We're growing in viewership every single week, and we obviously couldn't do that without you. So thank you for continuing to tune in. I really hope you're getting value out of the programming and the content. Just wanted to give you a heads up. I've been working on a book on health and longevity the last couple of years. Been collaborating with my colleague, Dr. Dan Vitale, who's an expert in the field as well. And we've basically just kind of summarized the literature, some of the techniques that we found really useful in the world of biohacking, what our exercise regimen looks like, what's, you know, cardio type stuff is going to help us live longer and healthier, mobility work, nutrition. We've covered the whole spectrum, everything that you can basically be in control of in your health and fitness kind of moving forward to help you live as healthily as possible for as long as possible. And it's available free for download. So if you click on the YouTube banner, you'll see a link to download the blueprint. It's also on our Instagram profile. or on the website, you can click on fivepillarmethod.com/optimize to get your free copy of the book. And I hope you enjoy it. Hope you're keeping well. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.